All right, let's just do this, shall we?
Let's just go, yes.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Freddy Will Good Home. This is so weird, Ben. This is quite weird. Because the listener... To the listener's ear, it sounds like a regular episode.
Yeah.
So
we don't know that. We haven't tried to put these together yet.
No, but so seamless was that I imagine the listener looks at that and goes, oh, there's nothing different about this episode. It's just a regular episode of Freedom of Good Home, my favorite podcast in the world.
Can I just say that there is a bit something different. We'll get it out of the way. We're in different rooms, different suburbs even.
Yes.
This is the first time we've ever tried to do a remote recording, so here we go. But I will say that is different, Hing. But it's not so different that it would excuse you literally just forgetting your own name.
Okay. Yep, that's fair enough. I'm not gonna sit here and try and defend what I've just done regarding my inability to remember my own name. That would be foolish.
That was straight out the gate. You fucked up your own name.
We haven't done one of these in a while, Ben. And usually what we do is you and I go to a place and we talk for a bit and we get warmed up and then we kind of record a podcast. We might have a coffee or something. We talk about snacks. We kind of plan at least what we're going to talk about in the show. Today, we've spent the last 15 to 20 minutes tediously working through technical issues regarding webcams and whatnot. Which we've just abandoned, by the way, so I can't see you. So you could be giving me the finger right now.
You seemed pretty... Yeah, well, I am. I mean, I always do that during the show.
Sure.
Like, you really wanted this to become a cam thing, and I kiboshed that by just saying, look, I'm not putting on a shirt for this.
I just think that one of the reasons people tune into this show, and goodness, there are as many reasons for listening to this show as there are listeners. So at least four. But I think one of the main reasons people listen to this show is that sparkling banter, that undeniable chemistry.
The sound of two men being able to see each other.
All right. This is a podcast where we go through the week's classifieds to find the best and worst things about. But Ben, I actually haven't seen you in a while. So I'd like to catch up with you on what's going on in your life.
That's true. Because like you say, usually before we record an episode, we actually get to catch up and say hi and actually ask each other what we've been up to. But like, this is actually just the first time we've spoken in a very long time.
Maybe since the last podcast episode. I mean, we've sent the occasional text, but this is...
I think the last word I said to you was probably bye at the end of the last episode of Freedom of Good Home.
It was, the last thing you said to me was like, right, so you'll edit this one. And then that was...
Get out of my house. I've been well, mate. Last time I recorded an episode with you, I was very tired.
You were sleep deprived. Yes.
Because Mo was, I think, 3 weeks old. It was absurd how young he was. Now I am as tired, but I think I'm just getting on with it. You know what I mean? I think the body is just like, well, this is what it is.
I don't mean to ask a particularly personal question right now, Ben, but do you have a job right now? I actually don't know.
Well, see, I just went through a period where I was employed for about 3 weeks, and that was the plan. The plan was 3 weeks of employment. I didn't get fired or quit. Like, it was just a short... I need to get that right out of the way.
Okay, well, it seems like no one was thinking that until you brought it up, so you are being quite defensive off the bat there.
But that was like a short-term gig, but it was really long hours, and I couldn't...
What were you doing? Were you in a coal mine? What were you doing?
I was in the TV coal mines in many ways. I can't really talk about it too much, not because it's exciting at all, but because I signed an NDA, and it was just a gig. It was just like it was not a passion project. It was just a gig.
Were you writing on the news?
You know, the news. I was working out all the fun stuff that happened that day. A lot of people said I shouldn't have made it so gloomy, but I'm dark and twisted like the Joker. So. So I was just working these crazy hours, and that was insane. Like, having to, when you are awake with a baby at 3 a.m. and you haven't really slept yet, you're kind of like, well, tomorrow is just sort of whatever. Like, that's just me. That's me doing this again. There's nothing really I have to do. If I can't really function, I can still feed him and make sure that he's not, you know, driving a car or whatever.
But I imagine, Ben, that though maybe it's the sleep deprivation that makes you so confident that you can feed your child as the father of this child.
This is actually true. Like, I actually, we're moving him to bottle soon, but you're right. Actually, I can't do that. So you're right. You're bang on here. But when you have a job to go to the next day, and I was doing like 9 until about midnight was the shift.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah, you're just like, it's frightening because you're like, my brain just won't work and I have jobs to do.
Yeah, I mean, I've felt a similar thing trying to kind of unlock some of the later shrines in Zelda quite late at night. Do you know what I mean? And you get to sort of 3 or 4 a.m. and you think to yourself, look, I'm going to be an absolute mess at work tomorrow. But, you know, we all have responsibilities, Ben.
And what's fatherhood but a particularly complicated shrine in Zelda, really?
I mean, in many ways, being a parent is the ultimate video game.
I am... That's the other thing. I don't know. I've noticed that he's gotten easier, or I've just kind of made peace with what this whole caper is.
Oh, your furious child, you mean? The screaming. You've either normalized to it, or he stopped screaming as much, but it's hard to tell when you're that deep inside the forest.
Exactly. I don't know if he's just... I think that's it. I don't know if he's just worn down my will to resist, or if he actually is better. Or I don't know if I'm like, oh, maybe I like screaming now. You know what I mean?
You know, it's funny. When I met Mo for the first time, he was doing a lot of vocal warm-ups to really get the screaming...
Me, me, me.
Just to be able to warm up his voice before he really went loose.
But he's really great, although he did do this... I found out yesterday that he's been doing this thing, which is actually... mortifying, and I actually don't know how to deal with it. Which
has been posting on 4chan.
Well, okay, it's posting adjacent. there's a carry that I have with him. The way I hold him that usually is the one way. If nothing else works, this way of holding him gets him to calm down a bit. And it's basically like imagine a sloth on a branch. So both his arms are kind of dangled on either side of my forearm.
Right, and is your hand towards his face or towards his legs?
Legs,
right? Okay, yep. So his head is near, is in the nook
in the crook
of your
of
elbow.
My arm. Yeah, yes. Exactly. New parents, I would recommend this. It also frees up another hand to do,
play
video
darts.
Games, if you like. Sure, play darts. Play Baba Is You, if that's a way you want to destroy your mind. But anyway, so it's a good hole. But the thing is, his arms kind of dangle where you would, as I've described, where you would imagine. And they dangle sort of around the watch region, right? So, I have an Apple Watch. No big deal. That's
okay.
Fine.
Well, okay. Yep. Well,
just get over it. It's just,
I can't see that right now because we're in different rooms, but I'll have to take your word for it, Ben.
And one of the things that the Apple Watch does is it allows you to respond to text messages that you get. And my watch has on its face a little button that you can press that opens text messages. Because I do a lot of texting. You know me. I love to text. Okay, so what Mo has managed to do a couple of times now, I've got 4 occasions that he's done this, is open my messages just with his little hand dangling and then randomly hit a conversation and then respond to that conversation with one of the form replies.
Oh, like the I'm on my way, I'm sorry, I'll be late kinds of things.
Here's the thing. The first form reply is you're welcome, full stop. Okay?
Why is that a thing you would ever say in conversation? That's so... You're welcome, full stop is so passive-aggressive.
It is so... Even if somebody is like, hey, thanks for doing that, you're welcome, full stop is so passive-aggressive, right? Now imagine... I want you to imagine, Hing, that we haven't been talking, and then out of the blue, I text you the words, you're welcome, full stop. I have done that to my sister. I have done that to 2 different friends of mine, and I've done that to my wife. The time that I did it to Anya, or more accurately, Mo did it to Anya, it was so rude that she was just like, well, I'm just not going to bring this up. I assume that Ben has just been having a really shitty time and he's just being a shithead and I'm not going to bring this up. It took me looking through, like opening my messages and saying, I just texted Anya. I didn't like this maybe like 3-4 hours later. And I noticed that I texted her, you're welcome, full stop. And it was after... Mo was being like really screamy, so I was like, honey, I'll take him. You just like make a cup of tea and I'll just take him down to the beach.
Oh no. Ben. So wait, so in Anya's mind what's happened is you've said to her, all right, you're having a rough time with the baby, I'll take the baby for a walk. And then
I've just become
later.
Annoyed on the trip that she wasn't grateful enough. But it was the baby. It was the butterfly.
Oh, Ben, this really sounds like you have done that in a bit of fit of fury and then sent that exact same text message to half a dozen other people in order to backtrack and save yourself from the embarrassment of your curiousness.
So bad. So if you are a friend of mine listening to this show and I've texted you, you're welcome full stop. In the past little while, please know that it was not me. It was my very passive-aggressive baby. Do you want a snack report?
I would love... Yeah, well, I've realized now that one of the things about snack report is I can see you eating, and I can... Usually, I can see you eating and hear you eating, but this time, I can only hear you eating because I can't see you, and I'm actually curious, and maybe this is the allure of snack report. Maybe I've finally been brought into the fold.
Yeah, you've put yourself in the position of a listener. Okay, Hing, I'm gonna take a big bite of this item, and you tell me what it is I'm snacking on. Okay.
Okay.
Ready?
Big bite. Sounds like an apple, maybe.
Mate, you've nailed it. You've nailed it. Now, can you detect a colour?
I'm gonna. It doesn't sound. Oh, it's hard to tell through down these wires. I'm gonna guess red. I'm gonna guess red. Was it a red apple?
Mate, you've 10 out of 10. It's a.
Oh.
It's a nice red apple. It's not as... I think you were about to allude to this. It's not as crisp as you'd really like.
Mm. Well, can I... I was mind-gaming just then, Ben, because not 5 minutes ago, before we started recording on the early part of the Skype call, you said to me, now to open this delicious jar of pickles, right?
Oh, yeah.
And then when you asked me what you're eating, I was like, okay, he's going to be eating a pickle. I'm going to nail this. And then I was like, that's not a fucking pickle. I know this. He's trying to... He's trying to trick me.
After I finish my apple, the dessert is this delightful can of pickles. Have we talked about these pickles, these Escal pickles, before?
I don't know, but the idea of you eating a meal of apples and pickles is the exact kind of bullshit that I... It is weird to see a puzzle piece you didn't know exist fit so exactly into a puzzle.
Yeah, well... Look, so that's Snack Report. Thank you so much for everybody who's been writing in. And also... Thank you for everybody who's been writing in, being a little bit understanding that Hing's got stuff going on at work, I've got stuff going on at home, and that we haven't been able to put one of these down. But if this works, if we can do the odd remote one, then boy,
game changer.
Might change precisely nothing, but we'll see.
Can I give you a little update on something I'm doing, Ben?
Absolutely.
Which I don't know if I'm allowed to talk about. I'm sure, look, our listenership in this is quite large, but cool enough that no one's going to out me on this or call the cops. Sure. So if you're listening to this, don't call the cops. You know, there's a federal election coming up, Ben.
So says you. Yep.
Well, so says the Australian Electoral Commission, who mandate that it has to happen by the end of May.
Okay, why do we agree to disagree?
I, Ben, have I've been throwing around the idea of running for the Senate. Because, Ben,
sure.
That if you look at the Australian Senate, a lot of people have gotten in on very few votes.
Very few. I mean, Fraser
Anning, who
made
famous
international
Nazi
headlines.
Yeah, famous
for getting,
Nazi.
For being egged. A Nazi, yes. And for getting egged, was in on, I think, 17.
Not 19. He got 19 primary votes. Right. You know, Ricky Muir got in on less than 1% of the vote. There's a senator from South Australia whose name is Sterling Griff. which I joked to Cameron James, former guest on the show, when we were talking about this. I joked that he sounds like someone who should have died of rickets in like 1840. He got into the Senate with 103 votes, right?
Okay.
And it made me think, like, maybe because look, let's be honest, Ben, comedy's quite hard.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think I could get 100 votes.
I think you could.
And what all I need really to happen is to get on the ballot paper and then get a bunch of votes. And then just wait for another constitutional crisis like we had recently, where a bunch of people had to leave the Senate, and then they just go down the list and see who's next on the list. So I could
you know what this is like? This is like when you go to a busy restaurant and you put your name down, and you just wait until a table opens up.
Absolutely, especially if someone in front of you leaves the queue, and then they're calling out like, "Oh, where are the Jenkinses? Where are the Jenkinses?" Mm-hmm. And I'm like, "Hey, the Jenkinses aren't here. Please let me take their seat." Like, that's basically what I'm trying for here. And
Dan, are you legitimately going to be on ballots and stuff?
Well, that's the idea. There is the sort of small legal problem that I am technically an an employed person by the Commonwealth, because SBS technically is run by the Commonwealth. And as an agent of the Commonwealth, I'm technically not allowed to run for office. But I think I can probably just quit my job for the duration of the election or something.
Was this not precisely the reason why a lot of people were just booted out of Parliament?
I mean, look, Ben, like, it's very complicated.
Yeah, okay.
But I'm gonna try. Like, I think I need to quit my job and then run, and then if I don't get in, get my job back. Now, the gamble here is that I don't get my job back, Ben. That is the gamble, obviously. But the upside of that is I could be a federal senator if there's another constitutional crisis.
That's true. Now, the other thing is, you work for the national, or for one of the national broadcasters.
Yes.
Is that what SBS, we call SBS?
Yeah, it's what we call a public broadcaster, yes.
Yeah, and hear me out here. It's quite hard to fire people from those roles once they're in there.
Mm.
You know, so one thing to consider, Hing, is that you are quite difficult to fire. And if they wanted to fire you, something that they might cook up...
is a plan they've hatched, or they've discovered, yeah. They've discovered a plan where I would say looking to get into federal office.
Yep, yep. And all
illegally.
You have to do is just for the books, tender your resignation. And then they slam the door behind you.
Yeah, this is the long play.
Change the locks, and you're out. I mean, that is just something that I want you to be aware of.
Sure.
Because
well, anyway.
I do know, I did work with you for a couple of weeks,
yes.
And one thing I did notice is that you are universally despised. So.
Can I just say, if anyone's listening to this and you want to sort of inquire about my run for Senate, I think I'm going to try and put up a video this week, maybe. And the kind of so please do go to my Facebook page and check it out. I think this can happen. Like, I genuinely I called the election. Hey Ben, have you ever called the electoral the electoral commission? Because
I tweeted at them incessantly for a long time before they would tell me if they count how many dicks are drawn on ballots.
And what did they say in the end?
Not officially.
Right. Okay. But there's like the fun guy in the office is probably that's his
job.
Yeah.
I mean that. They can't stop people from counting them if they're on amusement.
Well, I called them to ask if this was legal, and I had to ask very hypothetically because I didn't want them to be like, well, no, Michael Hing, you can't do this. I was like, hey, I read a short story about...
What?
I basically made up a thing that I read a short story about a thing where someone had done this, and is that believable? And the lady was really helpful, and she was like, well... He'd have to have quit his job. And she was actually... So, she doesn't know this, but she may have given me the loophole I need, theoretically, to run for Senate.
I mean, like, I'm amazed that that worked, because that is one of the stupidest deceptions I think I've ever heard you do.
Oh.
You made up a short story and then wanted to call the... You're not even saying you wrote a short story. You're saying you read a short story and then wondered how realistic it was.
I decided
to find that out.
Look, I didn't specifically say, but I implied that I was a teacher and that this was written by a child.
This is even more... Why would you fact check a child's work of fiction?
Because...
What's wrong with you?
I said I needed to report back to the author about...
A child?
Well, I didn't explicitly say it was a child, but I just sort of heavily hinted that I was a teacher and one of my students had written this story.
Jennifer, you've submitted this story about a girl who wakes up one morning to discover that she's actually a wizard and from a long line of wizards and very powerful and goes on... I made some inquiries to the university and magic isn't real. So I'm going to have to...
Give you an F. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm sorry you got me
suggest
death.
You get expelled because I am that teacher that doesn't understand how fiction works.
Well, look, anyway, the person on the other end of the call was not as inquisitive as you, Ben. She was actually very helpful. So, you know.
Well,
and don't think I won't remember this when I'm Senator Michael Hing, all right?
Oh, fuck.
I will haul you, Benjamin, before Senate estimates, and I will grill you about all kinds of personal details.
Just imagining. Now, an apple and a pickle. What's, Mr. Jenkins, could you just talk me through... Is that a meal you describe as typical?
Benjamin, it says here, I'm looking at some documents I've got through Freedom of Information, and it seems like you've just repeatedly texted your wife, "You're welcome," full stop.
Do you think that's
an appropriate
good thing
way
for a husband?
All
All right, and then I have to decide whether I'm going to throw my son under the bus. Oh goodness! Me.
All right. Well, we've sort of waffled on for long enough. Let's get to it. This is a podcast where we go through the week's classifieds and find the best and worst things to talk about. And we have a bit of a backlog of things that people have sent in.
That was me opening a can of pickles, by the way.
When you're opening these cans, are you opening? Is it like a Coke can of pickles you're opening? Like a tuna can?
No, it's just got a ring pull.
Oh, anyway. Okay. Right. Okay. Well, this has been sent in by James Quinn. Hall of Cowards MVP James Quinn. Thank you so much.
Thank you, James.
It has been taken from Craigslist and is entitled Fight Club Sessions and Training, fantastic, open brackets, if you are serious only, close brackets.
Mm-hmm.
And then the image you can see there, Ben, is sort of two people, shadowy figures.
Yeah, like sunrise or sunset, it's not clear.
Yeah, fighting. And I can tell you now, from looking at this picture, that floor that they are fighting on is actually taken from Mortal Kombat 4. So, that's one of the levels
really?
On that.
Really?
Yeah, so that's quite weird that they've done that. Anyway, they've photoshopped in some black figures fighting in the Mortal Kombat 4 level. I can't remember what it's called. I think it's called the Temple or something. Anyway, look. So, this is how the ad reads. Hard to describe the exhilaration and growth that can come from real, controlled combat with an experienced but understanding trained expert.
Uh-huh.
Seeking motivated novice and experts alike for live sessions outside/outdoors, after disclosures...
Hang on, what is the difference between those two things?
Outside/outdoors. I guess I would think of outside as being like in the front yard. And outdoors, I think of like the great outdoors. Maybe that's what they mean.
Yeah. I mean, there is definitely a difference because if I say to you in a pub, you want to take this outside, that makes sense. But if I say to you, do you want to take this outdoors? It's like, are you asking me to go camping?
Yeah. So, asking someone to take it outside, it's like, let's go to the car park and fight. Asking someone to go, let's take it outdoors suggests there's going to be carabiners involved.
yeah, absolutely. Do you want to settle this like men on a high ropes course?
Look, we need to settle this like men with one of the three challenges. We've got a high ropes course, low ropes course, and of course, kayaking. This is a private club, which comes with standards of behavior and respect, which must be followed for everyone's safety.
Oh, there's got to be rules in Fight Club.
Absolutely. Look, I think the first rule of Fight Club is you don't talk about Fight Club, and he's broken that, it seems.
Absolutely.
Come have fun fighting with us outside in a controlled and respectful environment involving some personal risk. And again, that's been sent in by James Quinn. Thank you, James. When James sent it in, he also made the joke about Fight Club's rules that I made.
Ah, well.
So I'm sorry for stealing your joke, James.
James, do you know what? You send in, we'll make the jokes. Let's both stay in our lanes, hey?
Now, Ben, do you think have you ever joined a fight club? I mean, I guess you're not allowed to talk
about
it.
You're asking this because you know that I have. Fuck off. It wasn't a fight. It was like, I feel like, oh, man.
This was about 15 years ago, I imagine.
Teenagers at uni. And me and friend of the show, Dave Harmon. It wasn't like it wasn't an official thing. We were both skinny, weak boys, and we got drunk and took our shirts off and tried to fight in his backyard. It was really, you know, it's... I actually am, like, cringing, like, physically thinking about that. How unfair is that, right? The human body, right, can actually just by, like, thinking about something, have the physical sensation of cringe, but you can't do that for nice things. Like, I can't think of, like, my wedding day and get, like, the opposite of cringe.
And get a big smile on your face thinking about that.
I guess you can think about, like, a sexy dame and get a boner. I guess that's similar.
I was never allowed into the fight clubs. I don't know that I ever wanted to, but I wonder, looking back, did you learn any life skills from that hand-to-hand combat you experienced, Ben?
As is being suggested in this post, you see, the thing is, this guy claims to be an expert, and that was something that me and Dave didn't have.
No, I remember watching it. It was like, you know that episode of The Simpsons where Bart and Lisa go, I'm just going to go like this, and if you get in the way, it's your own fault. It was basically that.
It was also, yeah, it wasn't, I think even, you know when you do stuff when you're drunk? And you think at the time you think like this must look really cool, and then you like either somebody's taking a photo or like even in retrospect you're like fuck that would have been really like even at the time I was like this is dire, this is very dire.
I think though that in that sort of early 2000s period, the movie Fight Club had come out in what like 1999 maybe 2000 something like that.
It was old news.
But we'd watched it, and then after that, we'd probably all read the book, and like sort of young men, understanding. Teenage men, not really understanding their like.
So I mean, men in their 30s now.
Yeah.
When they were teenagers, I think Fight Club has a lot to answer for.
Yeah, but I think that. Well, I just think that you're feeling a lot of cringe right now. But I also want you to realize that I think this is probably more common than you think. I think like a lot of guys our age were probably involved in some sort of Fight Club at some point.
I'd love to know. I'd actually love you to get in touch. Not you, Hing. You stay away. I'd love our listeners to get in touch.
I mean, to be clear, I've certainly been beaten up a lot. I've just never been part of an official Fight Club.
When you were being beaten up at any point, were you like, I would feel a lot better about this if you would pretend or at least go through the motions of saying this is a Fight Club and I'm just losing very badly at it. I would like, if you are,
sorry, just obviously, quickly, I just thought of the very funny idea of just someone just getting this shit kicked out of them, and the whole time they're just like curling up in a ball, but just doing that monologue, the IKEA nesting instinct monologue from Fight Club.
I'm so anti-capitalist, getting your dick, yeah.
I'm getting punched in the face.
I'd love, please get in touch. If you're a listener. Which by definition, if you're hearing my voice, you are,
or yeah, you're Michael Hing. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Oh, no, maybe I'm actually the prime listener, Ben.
That's true. Actually,
yeah, you and I are actually the first listeners.
Cause I reckon a lot of men born in sort of the mid to late 80s, would have by the time they got to uni or high school had a Fight Club. But
and
I'm
if you were not,
you don't have to fit that description.
Yeah. And if you were not a young, sort of a teenage / young adult man in like the late 90s, early 2000s, but I reckon ask a brother or a boyfriend or someone else, a friend, if they were into it, and I reckon you'll find out some disturbing things about people you know, but secret fight clubs all over the world. Goodness.
Yeah. Hey, Hing, do you want one?
Yes, please.
Now, I don't know who this was sent in by, but I think it was sent in by somebody. It is from Craigslist in Chicago.
Oh, this one was sent in by at least 7 different people.
Great.
Yeah.
Well, all 7 of you, thank you. This is Garfield LED neon sign. A big picture, and it says what it says on the tin.
Yes.
It's nice. It's Garfield in his classic repose. Like he's kind of lying on one arm, one hand is on his fat little belly, and he's got a real wry little smile on his face. Probably, I'd say he's probably thinking more about lasagna than he's thinking about Mondays. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. He's relaxed
and happy.
He's relaxed, yeah.
Yeah, a little bit sardonic in his look. So, Garfield LED neon sign. Before we go any further, are those two things not mutually exclusive?
Yeah, I think neon and LED are different technologies. But I think what this person... It is an LED sign, but it is in the style of a classic neon sign.
Okay, great. Garfield neon sign. Not new, but works almost perfectly. It is very important to me, but I have some negative memories associated with it, and I would like to stop seeing it and thinking of those memories every time. Would like to get rid of it by the end of the month.
Now, I'm just guessing that the person putting this on Craigslist is John Arbuckle, I imagine. Is that...
Could be Odie.
Could be
Odie. Could be Nermal.
Could be Odie. Yeah, could be Nermal.
Could be the Met.
could be Bill Murray.
Oh, yeah. Do you know why he did that?
I think we've told this story on the podcast maybe half a dozen times, but let's go again for new listeners.
We're hearing it again because it's directed by, I'm not going to look this up, but it's a guy with the last name Cohen. I think it's Ethan Cohen or Joel Cohen, but it's not one of the Coen brothers, because he spells it with an H. and Bill Murray, who, from all accounts, is just the laziest man in the world, which is, I guess, why he's a good choice to play Garfield. They were like, do you want to do voice of Garfield? Be the voice of Garfield in a Garfield movie? And he looked at the script and it said directed by, or written by, Ethan Coen. And he went, well, if it's got that Coen brothers that, smell that, to it, then...
That
then
zing pizzazz.
But the weird thing about that, which I find really funny, is that that story is now out there. As you say, we've talked about it on the podcast before. Mm. So everybody knows about it. It's like, you know, it's out there. It's definitely gotten to the Coens, no doubt, who now know that Bill Murray wants to work with them so bad that he would do an animated Garfield movie, and they have not cast him in anything.
What did you? Could Bill Murray have been in Ballad of Buster Scruggs? I don't know that he really would have been in that. Could he have been in?
I think Bill Murray. He's not exactly a chameleon, but I think he could have been in. I don't think it is safe to argue that there has never been a role for Bill Murray in any Coen film.
Right, okay, yes, yes.
Since Garfield.
Yes, okay, right, okay, yes. I wonder, Ben, if we take this out of the realm of the Garfield verse.
Sure.
Like, this is that constant conundrum we come to on this show, which is a person who wants to get rid of something but doesn't want to just throw it out.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, if you've got negative memories associated with it, and he or she would like to stop seeing it and thinking the memories.
Yeah.
Do you think this Garfield LED sign reminds the owner of a time they were in a fight club?
I think that like all things that have a negative, or like most things that have a negative memory attached to it, that memory is light and shade, and you can't have, for example, the rain without the rainbow. And so if it is a memory of, say, a relationship, you know, you do have negative associations with it, but throwing it out completely gets rid of all the good stuff too, maybe. I recently moved house, and I, you know, when you move house, you end up with a lot of stuff that you're like, okay, I've got to throw this out.
Yeah.
And the difference between throwing, like, the physically putting something in a trash can is a really weird, visceral thing. And it's much more palatable that someone comes and picks up your Garfield. Do you know what I mean?
Well, yeah. I mean, let's just say this is from an ex or something, you know, from a relationship. I can kind of relate to that. I don't know if I've told you, but I'm sure I've told you about this, Ben. Have I told you about the bust?
Garfield neon sign that you know what?
No, the
yeah,
clay.
The bust of Phil Jamison?
The clay bust of Phil Jamison from Grinspoon that I have?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that was given to me by a person who I dated for a brief amount of time, and she turned up at my house very early in the morning one day. We were I was 19 at the time. She turned up at my house, like, it would have been like 7 o'clock in the morning with this clay bust. We'd been dating for maybe 2 weeks, and she was like, "I made this for you," and I was like, "What is it?" And she goes, "It's Phil Jamison. He's from Grinspoon." And I was like, they're fine, I guess. Like, I don't mind the band Grinspoon.
You hadn't, like, expressed any kind of...
I don't mind Grinspoon. I think their music was, you know, sort of that time. There was an album of theirs I quite liked, but I wasn't a fan. I never saw them in concert. I wasn't like a... And it didn't have any shirts or anything. I don't think I'd ever mentioned to this person that I liked Grinspoon. And she just had made me this... Yeah, you know, bust of and I just accepted it and was like, oh, thank you, that's nice. And then it didn't work out and we broke up soon after that.
Is that what you said? Oh, thank you, that's nice.
Probably. but to be clear, this is a time before Facebook, so I've completely lost contact with this person. Like, I don't even remember their last name.
Wow.
So I don't know that I'd be able to track them down and ask them. But if I could, I would want to know, like. Do you think that this person just assumed I liked Phil Jamison and Grinspoon and made me a clay bust? Or do you think they made a bust of Phil Jamison from Grinspoon for some other reason, an art project or something?
Because I've known this story for as long as I've known you, which is well over a decade, and that has never occurred to me. But that's exactly what it is. She had a bust of... We don't even know if she made it. She had in her possession a bust of Phil Jamison from Grinspoon. By the way, for international listeners, Grinspoon is a sort of punky, rocky band.
Yeah, that was famous. There was sort of like in the Australian music zeitgeist for about 5 years, from like 1998 to 2003, maybe.
Sure.
And then they've done return tours since then. They've released a couple of albums, but that was really their peak.
Sure. But yeah, so she's come into possession of a Buster Phil Jamison from Grinspoon, and she, like you, is like, okay, well, I can take or leave that. If it was the Doctor, on the other hand,
if it was one of the guys from Frenzel Rom, if it was Lindsay the Doctor McDougal from Frenzel Rom, I would clearly
now
want
we're talking.
That.
But I'm just going to give this away to this random guy I met 2 weeks ago because it's got bad juju and it's in my house. and as we were talking about, it's hard to throw anything out.
It is. I still have that somewhere. I don't know where it is. I think it's like in a box somewhere in my under the stairs of this house.
And another thing worth pointing out, Hing, is that it looks a bit like Phil Jamison.
That's true. We should say as well. It's not like white marble or something.
No, it's not.
It's like orange clay.
It's like the kind of clay you have at like school that you make an ashtray out of.
And it's not been varnished or smoothed or anything
exactly.
Like that. It's rough clay. I don't even know if it's been baked.
I think it's gone in a kiln. I think otherwise it would have crumbled by now.
Right.
When I saw it, it was in pretty good nick. That is so bizarre. Hing, do you have one?
Yes, I do. This one is from Craigslist in New Haven in Connecticut. Hello, Connecticut, if anyone's listening there. In the gigs, domestic gigs section.
Mm-hmm.
And it's entitled, Need a Bouncer. I need two bouncers. You have to be a big guy, and you must wear a suit and sunglasses. I can provide the sunglasses.
That is a good deal so far.
The gig is simple. Follow me around a bar on Saturday night. Maybe shove a few people out of my way. Make me look important. I'm also going to get some fake headsets so you can whisper into them every 15 minutes or so. I want everyone in the bar to think I'm the most important guy there. Bottom line, I just got my tax return, and I've wanted to do this since I was 21. Pay is $40 plus the cover to get into the club. We'll go from about 10 p.m. to 1 a.m., 2 a.m. at the latest. This is 100% a serious inquiry. Don't be fooled by the concept. Also, dinner from McDonald's will be provided.
Well, start of all, he doesn't know what a bouncer is. He means bodyguard.
Yes, he does. the other thing I want to know about this is, as I read this just then, it is very similar to one we've had before, which is a guy who wanted to hire a bodyguard to take him to McDonald's. Do you remember that guy?
Yes, I do remember that guy.
Yeah, that was a guy who wanted to hire a bodyguard from memory to take him to McDonald's and then like sort of just shout like, oh, Mr. Samson is here. And then he would walk in. Yeah. But this is a similar thing. $40 though. You need to be a big guy and you get to go clubbing with this person for three or four hours.
You don't get to go clubbing though, do you? Because I mean, a lot of clubbing is dance. Like I think clubbing is defined by dancing and drinking.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
And you're not allowed to do either of those activities. Really? You're allowed to sit in a loud room.
Yeah, which is probably not that pleasant.
I mean, like, if you up that by a little bit, that's what they do to people in Guantanamo. Like,
it's a form of US torture.
Probably a lot more, actually. Let's be clear. But I'm saying that it's a cousin of that experience.
Yes, yes, yes. Well, so Ben, do you? Okay, I guess the broader question is then: if you had a bodyguard, if you got given a bodyguard for a day, what would you do?
Like, get into fights with everyone. And then run away like Martin Prince.
Because the whole...
You know how he runs like that? That's how I do it.
the kind of bodyguard is there to protect you from, you know, would-be assassins or something, I imagine, right?
Or people who are bothering Mr. Jenkins.
Yes, okay. Yes, sure. But
I would like... I
if
would
you don't
like
know...
Them,
yeah. But if I don't know who you are, if I'm just a person... Yeah. I'm not saying that I don't recognize you, Ben.
Well, that's weird, yeah, because I guess you would have missed the last six seasons of the highly cancelled ABC show, The Checkout. Just quickly, as a side note,
yes,
I was at the shops the other day, and there was a lady in line, and she like turned and looked at me, and then did a double take and looked at me again, And I was like, hi. And she was like, oh, gosh, you know what? I recognize you. I recognize you. And I got a little bit like, oh, that's, you know, because I was really tired. It's always a bit boying when that happens.
Mm.
And she was like, yes, you I see at Brookvale Lactation Center. And I was like, that's me, lady.
I had
the milk guy.
I had the exact same thing. I did a gig at Wollongong University.
Why are you going to the Brookvale Lactation Center, Hing?
I did a gig at Wollongong University the other day, and people were really lovely. It was a really great gig. I hung around afterwards, and like people asked me to sign some stuff, which was really lovely. And so, to be clear, I was like primed for this, but it's always just so humiliating when it happens. So I hung around taking some photos with people, and then as I was walking to my car, a guy yelled out to me, "Hingers! Hingers!" like that. And I thought, oh, right, well, this person clearly recognized me from the television. And I turn around, I'm like, oh, hello, I'm Michael, what's your name? And he goes, it's Rob, mate. It's Rob. I'm Mike's brother. And this is my high school friend, Mike, has a younger brother, Rob. Who I kind of grew up with and knew, but, you know, I haven't seen in 10 years. He's now at university.
Well, hey, you know what I say? I say being recognized is being recognized.
Yeah, but then he knew exactly what had happened. He goes, oh, did you think I was one of those people who wanted a photo? No, oh, no.
Fuck.
Just explain. And I was like, oh, no.
Come on, Rob. Come on, Rob. Now, this is a cruelty at this point. I was out.
Twist the knife.
Me and Anya were out walking Mo because we walk him every night. Not like a dog. We carry him.
What age do you put a leash on a child?
Yeah, sometimes, Hing. There's not an age that you do that at. Sometimes you just don't do it.
You were a leash baby, weren't you?
I was a leash baby. Look, let's not talk about it.
Have you made a choice? Have you made a choice about whether Mo will be a free range or leash baby?
It really depends on whether his attention span is of Jenkins stock or Pachansky stock. I think that's what it's gonna come down to. He's inherited. He's definitely got my nose. And he's got Anya's chin, but I don't know
whether or not he has the ability to delay gratification, like Pachansky
exactly,
or Jenkins.
To just run headlong into danger. So we were out walking him, just holding him to get him to helps him sleep a little bit. We just walked down by the beach, and the guy was like with a girl. They were leaning against a ute, and they had like speakers blaring like weird like 80s rock. It was really like something out of Puberty Blues. And he had like a tinny of Woodstock, and it was like kind of late. It was like 8 o'clock, so the sun was down. And as we approached, I was like, "Oh no, louts!" Because that's now that I live in the suburbs, I mutter things to myself like, "Oh no, louts." And the guy, we get into kind of view of them, and we just passed, and the guy goes, "Oi!" And I'm like, "Oh fuck, he's gonna, like Mo's gonna see his dad get beaten up, and it's not gonna be good." And he's like, "Oi!" And we're like, "Hi!" And the guy's like, "That's a beautiful age." Oh, what is he? What is he like 12 weeks? Yeah. Oh gosh, enjoy it.
Hold on to it while you can, because they grow up so fast, yeah. Don't they?
Oh, soon they'll be talking back. Ha ha ha. And you know, I punched him in the throat just because I was already really G'd up. It was really hard to wind down after that. So,
I just want to ask very quickly, Ben. What if you had a bodyguard for a day, just to get us back on track for this? Is there anything that you've always wanted to do that you need a bodyguard to do, or like this guy wants to go to a club with a bodyguard? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, so like, presumably that's not because the club is dangerous. Presumably that is because he thinks he'll be admired.
Yes.
And maybe, you know, meet some people.
Yes.
If they think that he is famous.
Yes.
Which is kind of like a funny idea. I love that because like there is that thing of, I might have been like on one of those like Just for Laughs things or like some like YouTube thing of like, can we just get some complete nobody and people to think they're famous just by getting people to constantly ask for photos with them.
Yeah.
And then, so there are people who are in it keeping on asking photos. And then eventually people who aren't
critical
mass are like, can I get a photo too?
Yeah.
So like, I think that would be fun, but so I don't think it's danger. I would, you would like to do some really stupid things, like go to a biker bar or something.
I think and just start I would like fights. to, And I don't know. I think if I did it now, it wouldn't be believable because of the life I've led. But I, if I was a, if I was a, had a, led a different life, I think I would like to go to a high school reunion with an unexplained bodyguard.
Yes.
Wouldn't that be
I think that's even funnier with the life you've led. Because people have a little bit of information. They're like, is this the video games thing? Or is this the... He's a senator now, I think. I think that's what that is. If I had a bodyguard for a day, what I would like... All I would like them to do is just... People who aren't even close to me asking me if they're bothering me, but really loudly so they can hear. So somebody like 4 seats away from me on the bus, the bodyguard can be like, is this lady bothering you, sir? This lady here? I think that would be enjoyable.
Because what if you said yes, though? Would the bodyguard have to go and move this poor woman 4 seats away?
No, because I think that would be part of the joy of having a bodyguard is being very magnanimous.
Oh.
And being like, no, she's fine. You're fine, ma'am.
You know what, Terry? She's fine. Hey, these are good people on this bus. Also, the idea of someone having
these
a bodyguard
good,
but also
people.
Taking the bus is very funny.
Well, that just screams politician, right? Like, at that point, you're looking for cameras and stuff.
Yeah, that's true. Hey, Ben, do you have one to take us home?
You know what, Hing? I love to broaden the universe, the FTHGH EU. That's the Freedom Good Home Extended Universe.
Not Cinematic Universe? All right. Dream big, Ben.
When we started this podcast, we were really only doing Craigslist and Gumtree.
Yeah.
And then a huge breakthrough happened where a listener, I think it was Sartu Chad, sent in some like buy, swap, sell stuff.
Oh, yeah, from the Facebook groups. The time. Yes.
And that was a whole new world. That was incredible. That was like when cinematographers discovered they could move the camera. You know, that was a whole other thing. and then we sort of moved on to a little bit of eBay stuff and some forum stuff. One part of the world that we haven't dipped our toe, and you know what, we probably have like a dozen times and I've just forgotten, but is the Whirlpool forums.
Oh, like the Whirlpool, is that like a broadband provider in Australia or something?
Okay, so I don't know what it is meant to be, but what it is insane people looking for bargains, complaining about the KFC menu changing, and then griping about the family court. So
I remember years ago, Whirlpool was a place you would go to look up who was the best like broadband provider in your area, or like which internet service provider you should go. But
so
nowadays,
nominally, it is that. But a bunch of lunatics have basically taken it over.
Oh, wonderful.
And now it's like, has anybody noticed that the serving size at Red Rooster is down by an eighth?
Oh,
and then it's like 1,000 pages. So I thought I'd just try and find one that that might suit here. And I looked for like fucking 30 seconds, honestly. Like, scroll. Yep, there it is. So this is from the Whirlpool Forum. So imagine, it's people on the hunt for a bargain, essentially, this community. And the title of this thread is, "Have you ever been denied ordering from kids' menu?" And here is the OP. "As an adult, have you ever been denied ordering an item from a kids' menu to be consumed by an adult?" He's doubled up there. That's fine. "I was ordering room service at a 5-star hotel."
Oh. Okay.
"It was all for me. I ordered a full adult dish, but also wanted something from the kids' menu as well. I rang it through and got a bit of what I thought was an unnecessary third degree about the kids' meal. In the end, I said I had people visiting me in my room, including a child. Kids' meals are cheaper because the portions are smaller, but maybe not exactly proportionally. E.g., the kids' meal version is 60% the size of an adult version, but costs 50% of the price." Hing, I can't do the maths fast enough. Are they complaining there, or are they're saying
it's a great deal? They're saying it's a great deal. The kids' menu is better value than the adult menu. So if you were to buy, for example, with those portions, if you were to buy two kids menus, it would cost you the same price as a full adult meal, but you would get 120% of the food.
Okay, so here's the question that he's put to the class. Anyway, do you think restaurants, food, cafes and food outlets, in-room dining, etc., should query adults ordering kids' meals? He can't even imagine a universe where he's not allowed to do this. He's asking if we should be queried on it. The very first response is a guy who says, "Of course, you think it's normal for an adult that has booked a room to order a kid's meal? Think not. They're covering their ass to make sure nothing untoward is going on." I don't think that's what's happening.
Do you think the hotel's been like, get to catch a predator here. We've got a live one. He's trying to lure children into his house with McNuggets. We cannot... Sir, I'm sorry. We cannot serve you this tiny cheeseburger. Because if we do... We don't want to be held responsible if you use it to lure a child into your room.
One of the other replies. I mean, it will shock you, Michael, to learn that they are all very squarely in favour of being able to order on the kids' menu as an adult. Yes, if I want chicken... Yes, if I want chicken nuggets, then bugger them.
Oh, goodness. I think chicken nuggets is such a funny thing to get angry about because... They are, I think they could be one of the most commonly available menu items maybe anywhere in the Western world. Sure. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Every fast food chain sells chicken nuggets. Every fast food chain is on every road in Australia. Like, the idea that you go to a fancy restaurant and the chicken nuggets are just for the kids, and they go, "No, you can't have chicken nuggets here." You're like, "Well, I don't know how I would possibly get them from anywhere but here at Rockpool."
But you're right, though. Like, it's weird that, like, most items on the kids' menu... Oh, I could be wrong about this, but it feels like most items on a kids' menu are just a smaller version of stuff that's on the adults' menu.
Yeah.
Except for the nuggets.
Except for chicken nuggets.
Show some self-respect. You can vote. You're not having chicken nuggets.
Look, here is my rule on whether or not it's okay to order from the kids' menu. I think it's about plausible deniability, right? Because no one in that restaurant wants to watch a grown man, for example, eat a child's meal, right? No one wants to be taking children's meals to a hotel room for a man to eat. That feels weird. So everyone needs to be able to walk away from the transaction, assuming that you have a child that is your own, on whose behalf you are purchasing the McNuggets, right? So, if you're going through the drive-thru at McDonald's and you order a Happy Meal, and they're not going to be like, "Well, who's it for?" Because you just go, "Oh, I've got a delightful son. He's an appropriate age to eat a Happy Meal."
Yeah. But no more questions because you've just knocked it out of the park with that deception.
You know, so
I read a short story about a child who had a Happy Meal, and I just want to make sure that it's all kosher. That it's believable.
So that's, you know, I think in that scenario it's fine, but I think if you order the kids meal, you can't just sit there in the restaurant. I mean, it is quite funny the lengths to which you would go to get the kids meal. Would you, for example, sit down in a restaurant, you know, with one empty chair, to, you know, and you're like, "Oh, don't worry, my son who's 9 years old will be joining me soon. I'll have the adult meal of the pappardelle lamb ragu, but my child, I mean, Brandon here, when he arrives, will have the McNuggets, please."
Yeah. Fuck, can I just say, Hing, there are some incredible responses here. I can't read them all, but I want to read two to you. This guy is really arcing up. He's a different guy. He's not even the OP. He's a guy who's arcing up, and he's quoting someone who says, "Do you think it's normal for a man to order from the kids' meal?" And then this guy says, "Oh, so it's not..." This guy quotes that and says, "So it's not normal if I want chicken nuggets? Full stop. Wow. So you're one of those."
There are two types of people in this world, Ben. There are two types of people.
Oh, fuck. And then the other one, and this is getting grim, but like the other one, there's like a kind of side thread going on. I do encourage you to look this up and read it in all its glory. There's a side thread going on. the culmination of which is somebody saying, look, real child traffickers don't even risk ordering kids' meals. Kids are either given some dodgy meal from a bag.
Wait. These people are entertaining the conceit that the reason the hotel didn't give this man the McNuggets was because they thought he was trafficking children.
Yeah. So they say kids are either given. It's not even. There's no like. Note. I'm gonna read this again. Note how like. Like, this isn't even like a, in my opinion, or like, oh, you would imagine that. This is like straight fact.
Real I read a book about the SAS. This is how they think.
Real child traffickers will not even risk ordering kids' meals. Kids are even either given some dodgy food from a bag or share the adults' meals.
Oh.
Imagine if that is how they busted a huge child trafficking ring. It's being like, sir, you've ordered one adult's menu and 30 kids' menus to your room. Oh, fuck.
I also think, though, that if you were a paranoid hotel clerk, right?
Yeah.
And a gentleman calls up and orders, you know, the margarita pizza and then also a large margarita pizza and also a, some apple slices and some chicken drumsticks or whatever, like for, you know, yeah, the kids' meal or whatever.
Yeah.
And you were like, look, sir, I'm sorry we can't serve this to you because you might be a child trafficker. That's not the end of that conversation.
Yeah, no, it's not. Like, because you're so right.
Like, you don't go, anyway, look, I can't serve you this meal, but enjoy the rest of your stay. Please remember to rate us on TripAdvisor. It really helps people to find out about the hotel.
That's true, because if you are the hotel staff who gets that call, you go, that man has a child in his room.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to do anything about it, but I'll be damned if that child he's trafficking is going to eat.
The other thing is, what kind of person do you need to, like, given that no one's seen the child because the child doesn't exist, they're just assuming that there's a child there being trafficked. What kind of signals is this person giving off that it is impossible that the child is their own child?
Yeah, exactly. Because when you book into a home, do you have to say if there's children with you or not?
Yes.
Fucking. Oh, I love it. Okay, we're gonna try and do Whirlpool forums more often, I think. What an incredible little section of the world.
Goodness
me. Oh, this has been a delight. Hing, do you have anything to plug?
I do. By the time this comes out, if you're in Sydney, Tuesday the 9th of April, I believe it'll be, Ben, you and I are going to be doing a little show, Giant Dwarf, the start of season 5 of our Dungeons & Dragons podcast, Dragon Friends, will be happening.
Yeah, and all with friends of the show. Like, if you've ever listened to this show, you'll recognize the cast of Dragon Friends.
Yeah, you'll know Simon Griner, you'll know Alex Lee, you'll know Dave Harmon, who was once a member of a fight club with Ben Jenkins.
I think Eden Lacey might be the only Pokemon that we haven't
caught yet. Yet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yet.
Also, like I said, I think I'm genuine, like, this is 100% real. I'm genuinely thinking about trying to run for Senate. So if you hear this and want to go check out my Facebook page and stuff, that would really help. It's just Michael Hing on Facebook.
Fantastic. Oh, man, this has been a joy.
Do you have anything you want to plug, Ben? Anything about the Brookvale Breastfeeding Clinic or whatever it was?
Yeah, they're very helpful. If you're having some problems, they're really, really helpful, and they'll sort you right out. So head on down to Brookvale. not at all. Please come to Dragon Friends. We'd love to see you there. We love seeing Free to a Good Home people at Dragon Friends and at gigs. You guys are the best. So please come. And Keatless Classified's coming in. We're going to try and do this a little bit more regularly now.
Yeah.
Now that Hing and I don't even have to stand to see each other in the same room.
Yeah, I mean, this is really the reunion tour of, you know, one of those bands that famously hates each other, like the Eagles or something. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
This is what this is. I think finally, away.
This culminates in you appearing at one of our live shows as a hologram, I think. All right, well, until next week.
Bye. Bye. If you like pina coladas. Look.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.